Hey guys, welcome back to the Intimacy Podcast for the Million Dollar Man. I'm your host, Rhonda Farr, certified life coach with an emphasis in emotional healing and processing and relationships. So today I don't have a script, you guys. Here's your warning. You're going to have to forgive me. I'm going to just be talking about some examples of real life scenarios from many of my clients. Some of you are going to think this is about you. I promise these are things that repeat often. And the last few weeks, they just keep coming up with so many of you. So today I'm going to highlight real life examples of some of the concepts I've talked about a lot already on the podcast in the past. So many of you tell me it's helpful when you can hear how this plays out in other relationships. So first couple, we're going to talk about a husband who is typical high desire partner, a wife who is lower desire partner as far as her sex drive goes, but the wife is the higher desire partner as far as craving emotional intimacy. Now, this is a stereotype, but I do see this a lot. Now, if you're a woman out there listening to this and you're like, no, I'm the higher desire partner for physical intimacy, there is nothing wrong with you. You're perfect, just how you are. But we're going to use this generalized broad statement, or excuse me, example today, because I see it so often with the husband as a higher desire. So the wife came and said, I can never fill him up. Like, I have worked on my sex drive. I have gotten coaching and taken courses, and I'm owning my sex drive. I'm enjoying it. I initiate it sometimes. She's like, but he'll be happy for a little while. And then if he's out of town for a while, or if, just something happens that we go a week or heaven forbid 2 weeks without it, then he thinks the marriage is completely falling apart. He feels like we have made no progress and we're just in trouble. Okay. Here's what I want you guys to know. When there is a scenario like that, where things can feel okay for a little while, but then something disrupts our pattern and we feel like all hell is breaking loose, this is not about sex. The wife is right in this case that she can never fill him up because it's not about sex. Not enough sex in the world is going to heal an emotional wound. What do I mean by that? So this husband is was a child who saw his parents fight a lot. They went through a difficult divorce. He was raised by a single mom and very complicated relationship with his dad and the back and forth. So here's what I want you to think about. As a child, he started seeing relationships as unstable, kind of volatile. He was confused a lot, didn't know how to make sense of what was going on. It felt very emotionally unsafe when his whole safety system got rocked and in his mind, torn apart. So we start to feel those things as a child. We can't quite make sense of them. And as we grow, we get a little bit of a distorted idea of what emotional safety means or what relationships and marriage would look like. So with this husband client, I was doing some work with him one time and I was saying to him, like, tell me what it feels like in your body. And you've heard me say this on the podcast before. And here's a good example of why we do this. Tell me what it feels like in your body when you feel like she's not desiring you enough or the frequency is not enough. And so he started talking about that. And so I just asked, where else have you felt that same feeling in your life? And he talked about a couple of times when his parents first told him that they were getting a divorce. He felt a very similar feeling of not being cared for, of being abandoned, of being really confused and displaced. He talked about another time when they had to move to a different city because of some struggles, financial things, right, which was already scary. And he said, you know, I would go out and hang out with, you know, the community center, the kids there. And, you know, he thought about going home. And he's like, I used to always think I can't go home. There's no home, right? So he felt very unstable and displaced. So for this client, your flavor of it might be a little bit different. But for this client, what he started to learn is his wife's lower desire was not necessarily the problem, but it activated or highlighted those insecurities inside of him, right? So yes, they are related, because when the sex was not as frequent or he felt like she wasn't desiring him, it did trigger something inside of him, but he could not separate her being the problem versus him having the emotional wound or the regressed child inside of him, and the lack of sex was just highlighting that. So to give an example of what that might look like, let's say that we have an ulcer from whatever, worry or whatever. But we don't know. We're totally unaware that we have an ulcer. And every time we eat pizza, we think pizza is the problem. Well, yeah, pizza is highlighting the ulcer. But what if we just say, okay, well, that pizza sucks. I'm never eating it again. It's the problem. I'm divorcing pizza. And we go marry spaghetti. This is kind of a funny example. Guess what? It's also going to activate the problem inside of you. Okay. So you could say, well, no pizza or spaghetti. You could do that, right? And in this parallel, we could live a life alone. But is that what we want either? No, most of us don't. We're humans. We want human connection. So do you see what I'm saying? If we don't address what's already inside of us, what we brought to the table before the rest of it activated us, then we're going to keep thinking the problem is somebody else. We're going to keep being angry and frustrated at those around us. Okay, let me give you the other side of this example in the wife. She too grew up in a home where there was some dysfunction in the family, and she felt unseen all the time. Working parents, divorced parents, nobody was there for her, a lot of conflict with her brothers and siblings. She felt very unseen, like nobody cared about her, very unimportant, right? Well, guess what she's craving? See who I really am. Somebody give me a space that is safe to be emotionally connected and vulnerable, right? So for her, when somebody's pulling back and they're not willing to engage and fully see her and accept her, it activates all of her childhood crap. Now listen, we all want to be physically desired and emotionally accepted for who we are. I think that's universal regardless of childhood, so don't get me wrong on that. It's just that when we have deep pain and stored emotions around those things, it triggers it. It makes it go crazy on steroids. So for the wife in this scenario, when the husband pulls away, or when the husband freaks out about whatever it is, finances, the physical intimacy, could be anything, then she gets really scared. Oh my gosh, the relationship is in trouble. Do I even want to stay here anymore? This is unsafe emotionally. And again, we could say his behavior, his words, his response to her is highlighting and related, correlated with what she's feeling. But still, the issue, the pain is inside of her. I can't stress this enough to you guys. Figure out your childhood patterns. What is it that is still alive inside of you? And one of my clients that I worked with, he's like, well, I didn't have a bad childhood. That's not my thing. I'm like, you don't have to have a bad childhood. The best of parents with the best intentions, I'm sure I'm doing it to my kids in certain ways, right? The best of parents with the best of intentions pass this stuff along. It just happens. Figure out what your crap is. It's still going to feel really, really uncomfortable, because when those internal wounds, that regressed child gets activated, your nervous system gets activated. It feels like an emotional threat. It feels really scary, like I'm back at that place again. And when our nervous system gets activated, it's hard to think intellectually. So here's what I've actually been working on, because guys, this happens to me too. My husband and I had a little bit of a blowout a few weeks ago, and he's like, my gosh, Rhonda, he's like, your response just seemed way out of proportion with the circumstance at hand. And I was like, yeah, I had calmed down by this point. I was like, yeah, that's what happens. That's a good telltale sign that there is an emotional wound. When the response is way overstated or way understated, and sometimes it can be understated, because what we learn as children is to shut up, freeze, fawn, people please, to get the threat to go away, right? So if it's overstated or understated, that is a good sign that there is something going on inside of you, some kind of stored emotional pain. So what I'm trying to do when mine comes up is say, like, my brain, oh my gosh, my regressed child is a brat. And well, that's not true. Just feels really insecure. So when I get an emotional pain and I get dysregulated, my brain starts thinking, I hate this and I hate you and I hate them, right? Like, picture a 2-year-old stomping their feet, screaming and crying. So here's what I'm working on for myself. Like, when I get in that state, I notice it and I just say, oh, I hate the way this wound feels when the relationship highlights this part of it. Or, oh, I hate the way this wound feels when I am around this person doing that thing. Does that make sense? So it's just a tiny little shift. We're not blaming the other person. We are creating awareness around our own emotional baggage. And then we're trying to let ourselves know, even though this feels really, really unsafe and it makes total sense why it feels unsafe, we're letting ourselves know, like, no, this is my nervous system. This is that emotional pain that I brought here. And we're creating a space between the marriage is bad, the spouse, the partner is bad, to, ah, this is what I brought with me. So I'll give you one more quick example. I won't go into as much detail about this, but years ago, I had this client who was really struggling with some physical intimacy, and he had a strong desire. His wife actually had quite a strong desire, but what happened for them was some things, you know, through childbirth and illness and physical things, the attraction started to wane a little bit, right? They didn't see each other in exactly the same way as they had before. And again, it's so easy to think, ah, this lack of physical intimacy or this lack of attraction is the problem. But again, through a very similar process, what we went back to was his whole life had felt a ton of shame and confusion and anxiety around any sexual feelings because he was raised in a very, very conservative home where those things were taught to be inappropriate. And man, so many of my clients, so many of you, you're going to think I'm talking about you with this example. I promise you, it's just across the board when we're raised like this, but they're like, oh no, that is bad. You know, don't touch yourself. Don't watch people on TV kiss, like close your eyes, and the parents don't show affection, right? Like, it's so extreme. And so the kids have these natural curiosities, these natural desires, and their parents, who they love and trust, who are also well-intended, are telling them, shut it all down. Run away. Don't look at this. And they get so, so confused and anxious. And when they start to experiment with dating or whatever, sometimes they get hyper-focused on their sexuality because they're so curious about the thing that their parents told them they should never look at or never see. So, for example, sometimes they use this example. If somebody said, oh, there are these crazy explosive fireworks in your ear, right? And you should never touch them because if they go off, like, it'll totally mess everything up and you won't be able to hear right and that'll mess your relationships up. This is a crazy example, but if somebody told you that and they're like, never look at it, never touch it, what are you going to want to do? You're going to hyper-focus on why there are fireworks in your ear and you're going to probably like try to catch a glimpse in the mirror, but that's all you're going to be thinking about, right? This powerful thing that people are telling you not to touch that could ruin your life and ruin your future if you did, that's all you're going to think about. And so when we're raised like that, it hyper-focuses us on this secret special thing that we can't get to yet. And then when we do get married and we're like, okay, it's time for this. And we're like, oh my gosh, these fireworks, they're kind of crappy. And my partner doesn't appreciate them. And I don't know how to appreciate these fireworks when they're around. And it's not what I thought. And then we get like kind of angry about it, right? And we're like, hyper-focused on wanting to fulfill this confusion and embarrassment and shame. We thought that was going to fill that void and gap for us, and then it doesn't. So back to my client who's struggling with the attraction. When that came up, he's like, yeah, I have felt this way before, and it was around what I was taught by my parents. And when I'm in a good sexual space, feeling attraction, good sexual relationship, then that wound is calm. Well, of course, when that attraction wanes a little bit or when he has to work through some things, of course that wound is going to start flaring up out of control. We're going to think the wife is the problem. We're going to think her weight is the problem. We're going to think she has done something wrong. No, it's inside of us. It's inside of you, right? And in this relationship, the wife has her own insecurities, right? Like she feels desire. She feels like she brings a lot of sexual desire, but there are times in her past that she didn't feel chosen. She didn't feel seen. She didn't feel like she got the attention or the affection from other relationships and even from her childhood. And so guess what? When her husband starts to wane a little bit, when his emotional wounds are flaring up, he pulls away. And then her emotional wound starts to flare up. Can you see it? Because he's pulling away. And now she's saying, oh my gosh, she's going back to that regressed part of her. I'm not seen. I'm not valued. I'm not loved. I'm not getting that attention that I've craved for so long. And it gets confusing, you guys, because in the beginning, sometimes this works really, really well. So for example, to go into a marriage with a partner who is like, totally on board, totally attracted to his wife. And she's like, oh yes, you're seeing me. Like, this is great. You can see how it works to an extent and it feels really good. But then when we're married, life happens. Bodies change. Illnesses happen. Children happen. Mortgages happen. All those things happen. And when that gets disrupted, when that pattern gets disrupted and we stop soothing each other's wounds, we think all hell has broken loose. The pain is so difficult. We get frustrated. We get angry. We start getting like that shame comes back in. I'm not saying it's a place that we have to stay forever, but I am saying this is very, very, very common. So here's what I ask of you today. Hearing these examples, I want you to start thinking about what did you bring into the marriage that you look to your partner or you look to certain behaviors in the marriage to soothe. When you start to figure that out, I want you to just shift your language just a little bit. Instead of saying, she has to do this, he has to do that. Instead of saying that, I want you to just shift it a little bit and say, that regressed part of me or that emotional pain really flares up in these scenarios, in these situations. Start taking ownership for it. There are tips and tricks to calm that nervous system, to process through that emotional pain and really work through that. And if you want more help, please get on my schedule. Get on my calendar. I'll leave the link below as I always do. But this is what I do. We're just using these examples to bring awareness to you today. But if you want to do that deeper work, get some help. It doesn't even have to be with me. Like, I want to be really clear. Go find a good therapist if you need to. But the problem that you think is the problem, there's a really, really good chance that it's something else. All right, friends, go follow me on Instagram if you want tips and tricks and daily inspirations that go right along with the subject matter that we're talking about today, or go get on my calendar. I'd love to talk to you. See you next time.